Episode number 55 from Zen is right here. Teaching stories and anecdotes of Shunryu Suzuki. In the middle of a session, Suzuki Roshi spoke in a lecture about the pain that everyone was experiencing, especially in their legs from the long hours of sitting. "Pain is your teacher," he said. Later that day in Doksan, a student started talking to him about how much she felt she was growing because of trying to master pain. He stopped her and said, "Pain is tedious." That was Jane Schneider, who was Jane Runk at the time. Tassajara, 1967. Yeah, it's true. It's sad, but true. Pain is a teacher. Now, we want to be careful not to attract pain by, you know, telling our subconscious, telling ourselves, programming ourselves to bring on pain because it's a good teacher. We just naturally prefer pleasure to pain. And one of the traditional teachings of spiritual teachers is not to be attached to one or the other, not to try to have just pleasure. That's a hard one, huh? You know, not to base your life on desire. Basically, we're pretty much set up to look at every instant and sort of evaluate it as, is it pleasant or unpleasant, and wanting it to be more pleasant. And a traditional teaching of spiritual teachers is to say, don't discriminate. Now, as I've said before, that doesn't mean don't discriminate in practical matters. It means in terms of practice, in terms when it really isn't going to help, especially. But when pain comes and there's nothing we can do about it, just allowing it to be painful is actually more pleasurable than fighting it. Lots and lots of people who've practiced meditation experience that. A lot of people, you know, people who don't have experience with meditation, especially seated meditation, cross-legged meditation, even the easy cross-legged meditation, which the Vipassana teachers I've been with encourage the here, just, you know, putting one leg in front of the other on the floor. But anyway, people who aren't familiar with that, they think, oh, meditation, that's beautiful. especially, I love it here in Bali. I'll go to a Vipassana retreat, and there'll be all these people that sign up for it, going, oh, gosh, meditation retreat in Bali, how beautiful. And then it's just nonstop from the dark morning till the dark night, sitting for an hour, walking for an hour, sitting for an hour, walking for an hour. And it gets very, very uncomfortable, especially for the newcomer. Right. The more experience one has, the less discomfort there is. But it depends on the person. Anyway, I'll see all these young people who've signed up for it just squirming and, you know, oh God, you know. But, you know, so that pain is being their teacher. Not just pain, things they don't want. Like, I saw a great exchange with a woman crying to the teacher saying, oh, you know, I was, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm getting to the place I want to get to, and I only do it in like the last 10 minutes of the period. And then a man walked in to where the women are sitting, and I indicated to him that it was closed, and he just came on in, and it just made me so mad. It ruined my meditation. And the teacher said, it was a woman teacher too, and she said, you should be grateful to him. You know, he was your teacher then. He showed you that your meditation isn't strong enough, that you allowed him coming in to disturb you. Ha, 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 I loved it. And usually what I experience is that there's a lot of tourists that come into that temple. Not too many, really. But it's like the most interesting Buddhist temple in Bali. And there are not a ton of, even though Balinese Hinduism it was Buddhist before it was Hindu. So there's a sort of recognition of Buddhism as a part of Hinduism here. Any time I tell a Hindu I'm a Buddhist, they go, oh, same thing. Here, anyway. So, but almost everybody, experienced or inexperienced, when some tourist decides they want to come in and meditate with us, we're happy. We don't care. I mean, they're not supposed to. There's signs saying, you know, close, stay away, but they don't notice it. They just walk in. And as soon as they see people are sitting there, they're always quiet and respectful. It's no problem. I don't care if they even come in and start taking pictures. I don't know if I've ever seen anybody telling a tourist not to bother them there. But, you know, some people get bothered and they complain. And so then they learn that that's their teacher. I'll tell you an experience I had once. I fasted once for 8 days. Only time I ever fasted that long. I fasted for 3 days. One day fasts I find are good. I should do that again. Because ever since Katrinka came back from America, I've gained weight. Not like I used to weigh in America, but a little bit. She likes it. She doesn't like me to be down too much. But anyway, all right. So on the seventh day of my fast, I started getting enormous sharp pain in my throat. And I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't participating in any schedule. I'd taken like a break from Tassajara for about that amount of time. And, God. So I started getting this pain in my throat, and it got worse and worse. And I called up this doctor who was sort of like a natural alternative and a regular doctor. And he said, oh, that's detoxification, he said, and it's coming out in your tonsils. And that's true. I learned it when I fasted, even sometimes when I'd fast for a day, I'd start getting tonsillitis. Not anymore. And I never had my tonsils out. I don't even know what they are anymore. I never hear about them anymore. So it got bad. Anyway, he just said, take some vitamin C. So I thought, well, I can take vitamin C on my fast. but it hadn't kicked in yet or done what it was supposed to. And that night, the pain got really, really bad. It's like I was nothing but pain. And there was nowhere I could go and nothing I could do. And I was just lying there. And I, at some point, I gave up. And I just went into the pain. And guess what? I had a beautiful experience. It stopped being painful. And I had a super transcendent experience. And why? Just because I stopped fighting the pain. So, you know, I really hated it when, like Kobun-Shino would say, pain, he'd say, pain to the monk is like candy to a baby. Well, you shouldn't give candy to babies. But, all right, I think it's okay to give pain to a monk from what I've experienced. And, I'll tell you the most disappointing thing I ever read in Buddhism was Buddha saying, don't move. I thought it was just a Japanese trip. I probably said all this in prior podcasts, but going way back, Buddha saying, don't move, you know, and like, don't move, don't scratch, and pain is a teacher. It goes back to the first. So it's not a just strictly a Japanese no pain, no gain trip. But let's remember, we do not want to bring pain on. We want to just, if pain comes and it's unavoidable, yes, if you can avoid it, like if you can take your hand off of that hot stove, do it. Anyway, I think you get the point. This has been a Cuke Audio mini podcast. I'm DC Poobah of Cuke Audio and Cuke Archives, coming to you from Sleepy Sanur with Dog at Bandita, Feline Cuchita, dear lovely Katrinka, and maybe you can hear the music that's coming from afar. And we're wishing you and yours and all of us a grand awakening.